This episode of Hope Ignited was recorded in February
Welcome back to the Hope Ignited studio today, guys. We are excited to be back for another music episode. I think a lot of us find hope in music, and it's one of the things that sets both of our souls on fire. And I'm just incredibly excited to have a dear friend to my family and really just kind of to the DFW area. He's a, we'll call you a hometown boy and a home state boy if we can, claim that. But welcome to the studio, our dear friend, Jarrett Ray Reddick.
Yeah. Yes, it's me. Look at me go.
You know, great. I always have like, you know, singer, songwriter, actor, whatever, but I did want to read this because how often do you get to read an intro like this? We need billboards for this. Jarrett Ray Reddick is an American musician, singer, songwriter, composer, podcaster, and actor, best known as the lead vocalist, guitarist, and primary songwriter of the rock band known as Bowling for Soup. As a voice actor, Jarrett is known for his work on Phoenix and Ferb, which I'm too old for, and also the current voice of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. What in the world? Like, how do you even have time to be here today?
That doesn't even scratch the surface. And the thing is, too, is like if I list off all of my jobs, it just sends everybody into a panic attack. I don't have any hobbies. I'm so blessed to be able to do what I love for work. And now we live in this world of creating content, and that's all I like to do anyway. So it's just, I basically, if I'm not being a dad or a husband or a dog owner, I'm doing something that's creative or that makes people smile. And that usually includes music or filming myself doing something ridiculous.
I relate to that in a lot of ways. I don't have any talent in that way. I can't relate. But this feeling of it's like you have this bottled up inner like steam in a pot.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have an outlet for your creativity, do you feel that? Like what happens?
It's all day for me, every day. And in fact, sometimes like I'll be sitting and doing something with the family or whatever, and something will happen. Like I'll hear something or an idea will hit me, and my wife will just go, "Do you need to go and write that down?"
Do you get like the shakes or something?
I don't know what it is. I have a tell for sure. Yeah. And I'm not sure what it is that shows her that, but she will just be like, "If you need to excuse yourself and go get that idea down that I can see in your head right now, then just go ahead and go do that. And then you can come back here and be," and so it is really fun. My friends even catch on to it now. They'll just be like, like I'll be quiet for 15 minutes.
You're getting glazed over
eyes. And they're
eyes.
Just like, "Did you just write a song?" And I'm like, "I did. That's amazing." Like, you know?
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's so good. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when we go through all those titles, kind of one of my favorite things about you is I feel like you've done such a great job, and I admittedly have not, of like adapting and keeping up with things. Like you are a content creator. Mm. You've mastered TikTok. I don't even have a TikTok. I'm not that cool. But how... What is that like? I mean, like, do you like that or do you despise that you kind of have to morph into like what's cool, what's happening now? How do you keep up?
It's such a good question. And the thing is that it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Bowling for Soup, we went through all of these changes that have happened so fast in the world. I mean, we made the first record in 94 on cassette. And then we were doing CDs, and then CDs are going away and it's digital. And, you know, we were touring with no cell phones we didn't even have MapQuest. There was no internet, you know, and now all of it's just on our phone. And so I feel like I've sort of been just adapting as we went. Social media though is one of those things that even young bands sometimes just feel like it's unfair to the artist that like, we have to take pictures of our breakfast and put them out there. And my stance on that is it's not. It's the way that it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think back to, you know, being a 80s metal kid and I knew about Motley Crue what I was told in two magazines once a month. And that's it. And that's what I knew about them. And then their lives were playing shows and recording music. And then we didn't have to know what else was going on. Well, fortunately for the fan, that's not enough anymore. Mm-hmm. We have to let them in. We have to, but I enjoy it as a fan too. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like yeah.
There's people that I follow where I'm just like, this is awesome to see this, you know? And so I embrace it. I mean, I will say that it can be very frustrating. You know, TikTok is a very frustrating app because, you know, you make a terrible TikTok and it goes viral, and you make a great one and nobody sees it.
Yes.
And
there's no rhyme or reason to the algorithm. There's no
reason to it.
Yeah.
What I'm finding is, you know, for anybody who's creating out there, is that, you know, sometimes things work on TikTok or sometimes they don't work on TikTok. Well, it might work on Reels, or it might work on YouTube Shorts, mm-hmm. and it might work on this. So I take the time, and it's a lot of time, to make sure that I'm posting on all of those outlets and just, you know, putting my best foot forward everywhere I can. And I just try and have fun with it. Mm. But yeah, it's funny. When I started on TikTok, everybody made fun of me. And they were like, oh, that's an app for kids and this and this and this. And it's sort of like, it sort of speed bumped my creativity. Like I didn't take it as serious as I probably should have.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, I've made like 12 videos and I have more followers here than I do on Instagram that I've been working on for 6 years, you know? And so as Ashley was so kind to say, I've gotten pretty good at it now, and it's growing exponentially. And again, it's very fun.
But have you resisted the urge to do the dances that all the middle-aged guys like me have to do
with their teenage daughters? I will do trends. I will do those. Yeah. I don't do the dances. And I will say this, because there are certain things that I think, like, that's one where I think my children would probably be a little bit embarrassed. Kind
of cringing, yeah.
And
yeah.
I already just say so many embarrassing things because, you know, Ashley's known me for 10 years. It's like 8 or 10 years, right?
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
It's a long time.
Like, I don't really have a filter.
Yeah.
And so I just talk about anything, and like, it can be embarrassing things or whatever. And so I think if they saw me doing a dance and they weren't in it, they would probably be a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's too good. You know, Jarrett, one of my favorite things about you and what we love to do on this podcast is kind of pull back the curtain and just and teach people things. We've shared a lot of stages mm-hmm. in the years that we've known each other.
You're the greatest host
she sure
in
is.
The history of, and I'm telling you this, like, I don't, and I'm certain that it's because you haven't tried, because you're, you know, you're a mom and you have your hand in so many things and you don't really want that life, but you should be hosting like a national television show. Yeah. There's nobody better than you.
Well, I love you.
It's
love
amazing.
You for that.
It's amazing.
I'll come for Ryan Seacrest one day, but until then.
You could take him if you want.
You could.
One of my favorite things though is every single person that has been on that stage, you have helped them get to the next level.
Mm, yeah.
You know, people know you because you're a celebrity and you're famous and your TikTok following and you know, all those things. But one of my favorite things about you as a human, and I mean, all the way back to Battle of the Legends days, mm-hmm. you literally like managed some of those kids.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know that you had aspirations of doing that.
Sure.
I guess maybe let's start there about your heart for seeing these really young kids that have big dreams. Like, where does that come from?
There is some sort of like giving back thing for me. And there is and I don't know that like maybe I should have, or in a previous life or however that works, but maybe I was an educator of some sort. But I really lucked out and had a theater arts teacher when I was a kid that really, really changed the direction of my life by understanding, you know, that, you know, because I was the class clown. So a lot of times I was in trouble for being outspoken, and he took that and sort of like, and sort of just like curved that a little bit. Like, why don't you put that up here? And I was like, well, this is nice. Like, I mean, I've never met a microphone I didn't like since, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, when I see people that I can offer things to, and a lot of times it comes from them just asking me something, and then once you ask me, the floodgates are open, and I have the knowledge to share. And so yeah, a lot of those kids and some of the adults, you know, I helped try to get them to where it was that they wanted to go. And some little girls, 12 and 11 at the time, called Not Your Girlfriends.
With a Z, not an S.
Yeah.
Girlfriends.
Took them under my wing and managed them for several years. And I mean, they toured the world. They released many, many singles and videos and then COVID hit and they were teenage, like, you know, 16 and 17 at that point. And they were like, yeah, we're just going to not do this anymore. But now the sisters live in Nashville. They're making music. And Maren is a sophomore at USC and just lighting it up. And so, you know, I love when people win. I think that's really the answer to the question is I like people to win. I'm not one of those that like roots against someone because I feel like someone else's success takes a spot of something that maybe I could have gotten. To me, it all just expands everybody's awareness of just good material and good content and good, you know, I know we overuse the word content, but it just kind of encompasses everything.
Doesn't it? Yeah. And I mean, continuing down that. So then fast forward a few years later and you've got this wildly successful podcast, Jared Goes to the Movies.
Yeah.
And I remember I was finally invited on probably episode 500 to 600, somewhere in there. And we're sitting in your studio and you're like, well, we've got one more person coming. And I'm like, who's coming? And you were like, oh, my neighbor. He walks over sometimes and just like joins the podcast.
Yeah.
But like, he legit became his own celebrity because he was your neighbor and you loved him. And you're like, sure, come have a permanent mic at that. Like,
Kenny I
love
Corner
you.
Will.
I love you for that though, because I was like, who's your neighbor? And you're like, he's just my neighbor. Like he just comes on.
Just but, super quiet guy.
Yes.
That like we just had him start walking over and Kenny Corner Will, he just became like this whole character or whatever. Wow. And we actually had Tim Tool was another one of my neighbors who would just come on and just say the most outlandish things. And, I you know, you could see, but even honestly, even Casey, my wife, did not set out to be on a podcast. Yeah. It was just like, hey, you have something interesting to say, sit down and you're on the show, you know? And, I don't know. I do feel like I sort of have, and I think you have this too, Ashley. I do sort of have this, I don't know, I guess you could call it a gift. I mean, I certainly appreciate it as it being a gift of being able to make those around me or in the same room comfortable and get them to talk about things and I can fill up quiet. I've always really silence drives me absolutely bonkers, which is why I'm an interesting interview, because if you guys just kind of sit there when I pause, I'll just keep going.
We just look at you like this.
Yeah. And so, I feel like that I think everybody's so interesting. Mm. And so at the end of that show, we were on for six or eight years. And at we did end that last summer. But at the end of Jared Goes to the Movies, the cast included the guy who hosted trivia, our neighbor down the street, and my wife, and like some guy we met on the internet. And that was the cast.
Yeah.
And like
the FedEx guy.
Serious. And each of these guys had their own character and their own fans. And it was just you know, a great thing. But I got so busy doing that. And then my show now that I'm super, well, it's been on for 3 or 4 years. It's called The Rockstar Dad Show. Mm-hmm. And it kind of takes all of my time now because most of our guests are celebrities. But even then, like on The Rockstar Dad Show, we'll have Mark McGrath 1 week. And then, and then it'll be like we just had Constantine from American Idol.
Oh, that guy! Yeah. Oh my God, that's a deep cut right there.
Yeah, I mean, but we get and it's so vast. But then it'll just be like, hey, this is my next.
Stare at the camera.
Yeah, this is my next door neighbor.
Right,
he's a dad.
Wow, you know? And, no kidding.
I just think everybody's so people are just interesting.
But you've always had the ability to make everybody feel like somebody, and that's one of my favorite traits about
you.
I don't know that I've ever been as emotional at your birthday party. We'll call it your 21st again.
Yeah, right.
And the lights went out and we surprised you. You were surprised, right?
I was so surprised.
With just these tribute videos of all of these people over the years whose lives you had touched.
Oh, man.
And I mean, like I looked at you and I got really emotional watching you get emotional, but it just makes me so proud to like know you and just be a small part of like I was so honored to be in that room because every single person, you know, you know me, I was like, how do you know Jared? How do you know Jared? But you make everybody feel like somebody. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's a lot about what this show's about for us is just no matter what brings people to the show, Kevin and I genuinely want to leave it better than we found it. We want to make them feel inspired. What inspires you?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for that. I mean, that's sort of the legacy I want to leave. I remember meeting, you know, bands when I was a kid, and you know, I remember every interaction, whether they were famous or not. And so I always have had in my brain as being someone who not necessarily, I mean, before people knew who I was even, where I wanted to treat everybody, you know, just like a person. And I've managed to do that through, you know, this insane career of mine. But it doesn't take effort. Like, to me, it's almost more of an effort to not be that way, you know, to be grumpy butt or whatever for the day, you know. And so even if I'm not feeling well, if you come or I'm, you know, I've had a bad day or I got my tax bill or whatever it is, you know, if you come up to me on the streets, I 100% know that if you're approaching me, that you are going to remember this no matter what. And you deserve to be treated nicely and with respect and that. And so thank you for that. Inspiration for me, when people win, as I said, I get inspired by movies. I mean, old movies, 80s movies is really what got me into, you know, wanting to be an entertainer.
So what are we talking about? Like Bachelor Party, Revenge of the Nerds,
all of that.
Or
John
The Last
Hughes
Starfighter.
Movies. Yeah, all of that. Yeah. Last Starfighter is funny.
That's my favorite one.
That is such a good one.
Yeah, Greet Tonight.
So great. Yeah, but yes, exactly. Like, but I loved, like, I mean, yes, it goes John Hughes movies. To like, remember that movie, Enemy Mine?
Yes.
So, you know, that's a deep cut.
Yeah, amazing.
But music and people and comedy. I'm very inspired by stand-up comedians, and I love, like, when I find somebody new that's like, oh, this is different, you know, and like, this guy's doing it. But just people winning, people doing what they love to do and doing it well, I think is so inspiring to me. And you know what's great is, like, you know, as you said, I've worked with a lot of young musicians, but I've worked with a lot of musicians and people who have been doing this for a long time too. And I write a lot of songs with other people. And what I learned very quickly is no matter what the experience of the person that you're in the room with writing that song, you can learn something. Mm-hmm. And it's like the girls taught me so much back in the day. Like I would just, you know, and sometimes I would just, you know, give Liv the guitar or whatever and just kind of let her do her thing. And she would go into this area where I would be like, oh, I really wouldn't do that. But let's, you know, like a therapist, let's keep going with that. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you kind of fine tune that. I was like, man, we're really onto something here. So, you know, I think just I have a very positive attitude and a very open mind.
That's so important.
I think so too.
Okay, I'm really interested. We're going to shift gears a second. I'm really interested in... you know, you mentioned this earlier that this is the voice of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, one thing leads to another and all that.
Yeah.
First of all, how in the world did that path open up for you? And then second of all, we need to hear you actually do the voice. So, you know, that's going to happen. Let's hear first of all the history instead of
that. All right. So, well, first of all, as I said earlier, I was an actor when I was a kid. And so, getting into that world was always something that I wanted to do, but I really wanted to be a stand-up comedian or an actor. I found music, and I found that in this particular band that I'm in, that I started in 94, Bowling for Soup, I kind of get to do all of that. Like, I get to do comedy half of our show is us talking, and our fans know that. And it's all improv. Well, speaking of improv, I got into an improv group here, and then I ended up starting one here in Dallas. And I had gotten the show Phineas and Ferb, doing the theme and playing the character Danny on there. Yeah. Well, then Chuck E. Cheese was restructuring, and they reinvented the mouse. And honestly, I got pitched for that job, and I never auditioned. In fact, when I thought I was at the audition and I had finished all this stuff and they were recording me and I thought, okay, man, gosh, we're really getting in depth. And I'm leaving and they go, okay, we'll see you in a couple of months. And my manager was like, how'd it go? And I go, I think, or how'd the audition go? And I said, I think I just did commercials. Like, I'm not sure. And we didn't, and that was in May of that year.
Under the guise of an audition, right? They're like, let's do another one. We're just not convinced.
It's so true. And that was in May. And I don't think we actually like made the agreement until July, but you know, and it took me a year or so to really figure out who he was, you know, and then, but then, you know, it just is second nature. But, you know, I got that again because someone had, because Bill had seen me do the guy that was creating the new, you know, vision had seen me do improv comedy, but also knew I was in Bowling for Soup. So it was important that Chuck E. Cheese be able to sing, but they wanted to make him a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
you had, because of that, you had your, like, you didn't even know. One thing led to another. Yeah. Is your rock career leads to, and then even the nature of you being on stage doing the comedy and all those things converge into one thing, which is probably why that was logical for them.
He just had the vision. And what he did was he went and he pulled. Amazing. Footage of me talking and doing interviews and just being me and put together this reel and pitched me as the thing. And I got the gig without even having to be in the room.
So cool. It's so cool.
So what is a famous line that Chuck E. Cheese says? And you got, you know, I want to hear this.
He says, the big one right now is have a Chucky day.
Oh so man.
That's the big one.
We're replaying that a bunch.
Then you got to do that.
It's that so thing, good. Whatever. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, it's just basically my excited voice. Like my friend Linus calls it my people voice. So like you and I are sitting here talking, but like if somebody that I know walked in right now, I'd be like, hey man, you know,
it's
Chuck E. Cheese.
So do you practice in the shower or anything like that? Like does your family hear you in the back?
And I do sing a lot. I sing a lot in the shower. I don't know the lyrics to any songs except mine. Yeah. I just make up my own. And now I have a whole set of children that do the same thing. And it is my favorite thing I've passed down because my kids just walk through the house singing songs and they just sing them wrong. And my big thing is like, everything is that is me is Steve. And it drives them crazy because I put it in their head. So like, it'd be like, shut up and dance with Steve.
Yeah.
And, and they're like, I can't hear that song anymore. Yeah. And like, but anything with me, I'm just like, just and then it. Anything with you is shoes. And so, I basically ruined music. The other thing that I do is if a song comes on and it's the same chord progression as another song, I can hear it instantly and I'll start singing that song and my wife will be like, stop it. You know, like you don't have to ruin every song for
so
me.
So good. One of my favorite things, speaking of your kids, I mean, like, I love that they're the front row of every show, right? That they can be at even on, like, even going overseas. Yeah. That what a cool thing that COVID unfortunately did is it gave family time so everybody got to be together, right?
Yeah.
But one of my favorite videos that you've ever posted was the kids, I think, were trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And they rang the doorbell.
Yeah, so we don't spend Halloween at my house.
Right.
My in-laws live in a cul-de-sac just down the street and like our best buddies, you know, in my non-entertainment world all live over there. So we all go over there and then we take the kids trick-or-treating all together and we're there for the night. Well, I have an automatic porch light and I tried so hard to make sure that thing didn't come on and it did. It came on. And so kids were coming up and ringing the doorbell and my wife just happened to watch a few of them. And this is my first actual really, really viral video a few years ago. And this little girl just dressed as a princess and so adorable, just rings the doorbell. And they're like, oh, please be home. Please be home.
They're like bouncing,
jumping up and down, right? Yeah. Please be home. Please be home. And the parents are like, okay, they're not home. And the little girl just goes, no, it's Bowling for Soup's house.
I know. It's Everett's dad. Dad.
And I felt so bad. But what's funny about social media is that I got hate for that video by a whole section of the population going, how could you do this to these kids? You know, and I was just like, I swear I tried to make sure that light did not go on. So this year, I did repost that video this year, but I made certain that that light did not come on, so not to do that to any kids.
It makes me so happy.
I know. It's just, but what I did was is I actually figured out who that kid was, because again, they're all in the neighborhood, and she happened to be a friend of one of the friends that we were with. So it's, I know that's complex, but I just sent her a little video. It was just like, "Hey, happy Halloween. Aww. You know, I'm sorry I missed you." And so that was good. But yeah, that was a big video.
Every year, speaking of videos that you make Cameo, how wild of a world that you can, you can pay for so many. Every year for Jarrett's birthday, Justin and I are like, we should record ourselves and send Jarrett a cameo of us free.
You should.
Why just so
you
could have
for
it.
No, for no, free. No, send a link.
Yeah. But how cool though, that I think that's one of the most, obviously outside of social media, that connects you directly to a fan, you know, but what's the weirdest cameo request you've ever gotten?
So I have gotten some pretty weird ones. I've gotten some breakup ones. I mean, the big thing is that people will try to get me to endorse things. Stop. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah. That's different.
It's pretty interesting what people will ask me to do. Like, will you please rewrite the lyrics to 1985, but make it about my girlfriend, and here are all the bullet points I'd like you to include.
Stop.
And I'm like, no.
No, I will not.
I'm not even going to sing on this for you.
Right?
I'll tell you happy birthday or congratulations.
Oh, really? Well, here's 50,000 if you do. Right? And you're like, sir.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
But you've done a breakup cameo?
I've done several breakup cameos. I've done a lot of engagements, And some people get really creative with it, and it's pretty cool. Like some of them, the most recent one I did is my favorite one. It was just like, hey, and I'm talking to the person. And then I'm like, to the person. And I go, if you turn around, Jeff is down on one knee and would like to ask you something. Yeah. And I was just like, man, this makes, but I get, I get a lot of pep talks because I talk a lot about mental health.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of parents asking me to just like, you know, their kids getting bullied or their kids dealing with anxiety or their kids having a hard time or whatever. I get a lot of that. Hey, could you just say some positive words, that kind of thing. You know, mostly birthdays, but I can decline the ones that are super weird. You know? I've gotten some that I just don't even understand what they're saying. I'm literally like, I don't know what this says.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, and I won't take somebody's money. If it's something to where somebody has an illness or something, I will normally just send that one for free. And
what are you up to now? What's your rate?
$100 million.
I think I'm at $50.
$50.
Yeah.
Well, that's tempting for us ordinary people.
Add a comma. But yeah. I'm at $50. But everybody so what happens is though. Is it gets busy and I have to turn it off because it really does require a lot of time.
Yeah.
Cause I want to make sure that they're good. I mean, they do, but you know, and like, I can't, you know, if my hair's greasy or whatever, I don't want to do like the hair's kind of important.
Casey would never let your hair look like that. Well,
you want to put an excellence to stand. Like I saw this one, Andy Dick was doing one, he's a comedian. And it was kind of funny. They were like, yeah, these guys really don't care. And he's like laying in bed and his hair is all like, he's like, hey, Steve, how's it going? I'm just saying hi. And I'm like, man, he didn't do anything.
Literally, he
just like pulled it up right there when he woke up. And he's like, I'll make, you know, $500 or something.
Right. Like, you know, Sebastian Bach are like 250, but he puts like a lot of effort into each one. He jumps into the screen or like he'll go out on like in just boots and shorts on a railroad track. And man, I mean, it's just like, no, he does. He like puts in some effort. He sings happy birthday or he'll like sing along your favorite song and stuff. So like there's definitely guys out there that put, you know, put some effort into it. But I do try and keep myself from, you know, keep myself out of trouble, like, and not endorsing that. A lot of, I get a lot of, hey, will you say that you like our new song? And I'll just be like, listen, if you send me your new song off of this app, I will respond back to you, but I'm not going to charge you $50 to tell you that I like something that I haven't heard.
Yeah, it's unethical.
Continuing to pull back the curtain. Look, here's the thing. We could talk all day long about Bowling for Soup, about Phineas and Ferb. Like, people can go to your Wikipedia and read those things. This is about things that people wouldn't know had they not listened to this episode.
Right.
One of my favorite things, we would do these the Battle of the Bands shows.
Yeah.
And we always had a celebrity panel of judges. Mm-hmm. And you were always our recurring. I mean, I'm so grateful that you were there.
Yeah.
But without saying names, we would have one celebrity judge. This was like season one, season two, who would literally like bring his Grammys to the show.
Yes, he did.
And he... 4, 5, 7, 12 of them, and he would set his actual Grammys out in front of him.
Yeah.
And you know me, I was making
Did he have like a wheelbarrow? I'm really curious how process works.
He brought him in.
Yeah.
And I would make TP name tags. I would literally be in the back, do you remember, with like a Sharpie making y'all's name, and I would have to like move the Grammys to set his name tag.
Yeah.
And then it was you, and then we would have like insane, like the executives of Disney. Do you remember that season? Like
yeah,
one
that's
year,
that was my friend, a breast cancer survivor, Robin Jones.
Yes, yeah. We had it really cool. But my favorite thing about Jared is like we would sidebar even in between acts or whatever, and he was like, the most important thing, Ashley, that you can do up on those stage with those people, we're gonna make everybody feel like somebody.
Yeah.
Bring their personality out.
Yeah.
Help them promote themselves, but just get them talking. Mm-hmm. Like we want to know their personality. Like the talent is the talent. Everybody's gonna hear it. Everybody's gonna see it. Mm-hmm. What I want to know more about, like how you were raised to be that type of person, because you enter the room as the biggest celebrity, but when you leave the room, it's like everybody's family to you.
Yeah.
Like what, how are you grounded in that way? I think your family dynamic is such a crazy story too. Like I just love hearing about your family.
Yeah. You know, I don't know because my parents aren't really like that. I mean, they're, you know, my dad is a Church of Christ preacher. So, in like the work world, I guess they're sort of like that, but I don't think that it doesn't come natural to them. I don't feel like, so I think maybe it's like a nature versus nurture thing, you know? I mean, they're not bad people, but I'm overtly friendly, and very, very, very positive. Mm. And I don't know, I definitely did not get that from, from growing up. But I have a sense about me, and I really can't put my finger on it. I think that there's just something about me that I love people to feel important, and I really do. Like and it's a genuine thing, and I don't ever want to beat anybody down. And so even in a situation that's uncomfortable, like firing somebody or something like that, which I have had to do in the past, you know, I try to make it a positive spin. As best I can.
You're so great, but you fired.
But you fired. But yeah, my family thing is kind of weird. I never met my biological father, but apparently he was very much like I am. And so I think this is a nature versus nurture thing. It was like he was a musician. He ran a radio station up in Lindsay, Oklahoma, which I actually just visited the other day because it's a country station. And I went up there and my biological sister, one of them met me and went to the station with me, and it was just a magical day.
That's cool.
You know, very, very cool.
Yeah.
But I think that must have just been how he was, because everybody tells me that he just was very inclusive of everybody in the room and making sure that he got time. And as you know, like I'm very much like, even if it's not my show, I try to give everybody time. And you know, sometimes I don't necessarily, like you've been to parties with me too. Like I don't necessarily have to be the center of attention. And sometimes I'd really like to just be quiet and sit over in the corner, but I do try and at least, you know, speak to everybody, you know, because you also don't want to be the guy that's like, well, yeah, I had a gender reveal with Jarrett Reddick and he didn't say anything to me at all.
Right.
You know, he's making TikToks.
You get viral for that moment. But you talk about your dad. So is that why this really cool shift to country music? I really want to dive into that.
Yeah.
Like even people that have listened thus far to this podcast, they're probably not like, that guy's a country music singer.
Yeah. Well, not the reason why, but you know, it's been a very cool part of the story because I wrote a song about my sisters and I covered a song. So let me back up a little bit. Biological father that I never met was a musician. And he recorded a song when he was 19 called Natalie, and it's on the internet. And my sister sent me the link, and so I covered that on my country record. And as I said, I wrote my next single is called Royal Family, and it mentions the sisters that I never knew I had. No, country is just something that's been in my soul forever because it's what I grew up listening to in Wichita Falls. There was always music playing in my house. That's one of the things that I do love about my – I had a great childhood, but one of the things that I really, really, really loved about my upbringing was there was always music playing in the house, in the car. So it was Waylon and Willie and Dolly Parton and Donna Summer and Tammy Wynette and the Eagles and Neil Diamond. And it was just this really big, you know, palette of things. But most of all, it was storytellers. Mm-hmm. And if you think about Bowling for Soup songs, they're stories. Girl, the Bad Guys Want. It's a story. Almost is a story. You know, High School Never Ends. It's a story.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to put a little insert on something.
Yeah.
You're walking into the studio a minute ago.
Today.
Yeah. This really happened. This made us look so cool. We film at this complex in around the Frisco area, and it's like a big entertainment complex. Yeah. And Jared's walking up and he's like, "Oh my gosh, my song." Which song was it again?
It's Ohio, Come Back
Ohio
to Texas.
Ohio was so that's playing over the like entire complex's speaker system. And then we were just as shocked, but we really missed opportunity to say that we did that for him. But anyway, that's even cooler that we didn't do that.
I know you should.
It just means that that's the kind of impact
you've
had on
culture. Yeah, you know, that song gets played on cowboy games all the time and Stars games and stuff. But yeah, the country thing, I it was something I knew I wanted to do. I didn't know in what capacity. And as you said, the pandemic, you know, it sucked for so many reasons. You know, and for some people, way more than others. For my anxiety, it was awful, but the way that I got past that was just putting myself into that studio and working. Well, a year went by. I'd already written a Bowling for Soup record. I'd played 100 shows on the internet. I'd raised a bunch of money for charity. I'd done this, and this. And I'm like, okay, well, we're still here. And so my friend Zach Malloy, who produced and co-wrote the record, was like, let's do the country thing. And I'm like, let's go. And we did it. So yeah, we wrote that whole record over text message in like 3 weeks, and that's then recorded it. It came out a year ago, called "Just Woke Up," Jarrett Ray Reddick. And I've had two top 30 singles in Texas so far. Yeah. My third single comes out in April, and you know, it's just going really well. I'm getting to meet everybody. And
did Darius Rucker kind of inspire you? I mean, he like that guy switched from a completely different genre.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that he inspired it. I mean, you know, I'm super proud of that guy. You know, but you know,
it's cool to see somebody else 100%, do that. Though,
yeah, I mean,
crossover.
Honestly, it's not really that big of a stretch for me. I mean, I came from a world of punk rock, and so it's all four chords and the truth, as they say.
Yeah.
All of my songs sound country when I write them anyway, because they're written on an acoustic guitar and just me. And then I just put fast drums and octave guitars on there, and I put a little in my voice, and it sounds like Bowling for Soup.
Yeah. That's so cool. But I do think it's really neat that it comes full circle back to your dad, whether you intended for that or not, right? Yeah. And like walking in and seeing your sister and going to that radio.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It was super crazy because, you know, that story is so, I mean, we could fill up the whole hour on that, but you know, my sisters all worked there when they were kids. And so, you know, when my sister walked in, like she already knew everybody. So the DJ worked for Charlie, my biological father, for 20 years.
Yeah.
So everybody else knew him, you know, and all that. And so like, there was just this whole like, yeah, dad used to do his interviews in the front lounge. Like he would move the microphone to the front lounge so it's like more open and everybody could be included in it. And I was like, God, that sounds like something I would do.
Right.
You know, it's so weird. That's and apparently so he whistled all the time and I whistle all the time.
I love it. Yeah. He also changes words in songs.
I'm sure he did, you know, if he was as funny as me, which I doubt.
Good luck. Good luck to that guy.
I doubt that.
Well, no, so, I mean, you're in this country music season, which is so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas State Fair, what?
Like,
That was wild to see that.
My first shows have been so crazy. My first country show was at C2C Festival in London. And it was huge. And then my very first Texas show was Green Hall with Bree Bagwell, sold out. And then my second one was the State Fair of Texas. And it was since then it's calmed down a smidge, but you know, I'm doing shows with some of these guys who have been doing it for 20 years, and they're so accepting and nice. I just played with Jason Boland last week.
Wow.
And you know, it's just been it's been awesome. Everybody's been very, very kind to me. And, you know, they either grew up listening to my band or, you know, they saw me out on the road at some point, yeah, you know? Right. And so it's been very cool.
Country music idea for your country music song idea, something with big text, like him breaking up with another giant, you know, statue or something like that. Anyway, just,
there you go.
They already have a song about Big Tex. It's like, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water.
Kind of burned to the ground. Yeah. That was like the Carrie Underwood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got that. I got Big Tex tattooed on my Texas arm the week before
he burned down.
On my, this arm is all Texas stuff.
Oh, no kidding.
And I, so he's down here.
Oh, look at Big Tex.
It's also my worst tattoo, by the way. But anyway, I was so like, cool. Do I put it on fire now? Like,
that's a good idea.
It'd be kind of funny if he had some flames on it. You know?
He's pretty hot. He's pretty hot.
Yeah.
So Jared, as we wrap up here, mm-hmm. I mean, one thing I even honestly haven't had a chance to ask you, but kind of what's next? I mean, I think people probably wonder, like, so is he country now? What happens to Bowling for Soup? Mm-hmm. Like, what does it all exist? Like, how does that work? What are the next few months look like for you?
Well, my wife would sigh here. it all exists. Bowling for Soup is busier than ever. However, we just toured really heavy last year, so I'm very focused on country right now. Bowling for Soup doing some things sporadically. In fact, we'll be at Lava Cantina, which is, you know, you and I used to host things there, coming up on Cinco de Mayo, but lots of country shows. Bowling for Soup's releasing a lot of music this year. Our second greatest hits will come out.
Who gets to say that? Greatest hits. You're like now 47. Yeah. Like, that's so cool.
It's our second greatest hits, and it only gets us to 2010. Wow. So it's pretty wild. But so our second greatest hits comes out, and then we'll be touring in the fall. But again, lots of country in there as well. But next year's 30 years for Bowling for Soup. So it'll be really, really heavy touring, a 3-day weekend here in Dallas, BFS weekend on our birthday. And, pounding away, you know, it's what I love to do. I like to stay busy. I like to make people smile. I think it keeps me young. Mm-hmm. And at least, you know, I think I feel it sucks to wake up in the morning, you know, because everything hurts. But I think it would hurt more if I wasn't.
No, you're aging backwards. We're actually here with Benjamin Buttons today.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, I am. Yeah, the Brad Pitt. I have a song called I Want to Be Brad Pitt, actually.
Of course you do. Yeah. Of course. Who doesn't want to be Brad Pitt? And we would be remiss if we didn't say check out Flowers. Such a good cover.
Miley
Cyrus,
yeah.
Can't even hold a candle to your latest cover.
I have not done a current in all of the cover songs that I've done throughout all my projects. In the past years, I've never done a current. But when I heard that song, I was like, we've got to do that and we've got to get it out quick. I was just like, that song is a jam. And it just, it's so good. And so, we released that a couple of days ago, actually. Flowers. So just anywhere you listen to music or stream or watch, it's there.
Well, I hope you'll come back. I mean, I think it'll anytime. Be really neat to almost have this Jarrett Ray Reddick 2.0. And we're talking about your greatest hits album of your country season, which is so exciting.
Thank you. Well, and honestly, anytime you need a guest for mental health, I'd love to come back and talk mental health stuff with you guys.
That's such an important part of the breast health journey. A lot of people think about the tangible things and the treatment and the screening and the bio, but we're like, if you don't, it's a full circle approach. And I can selfishly and shamelessly plug NBCF. We're one of the few that are really proud to focus on the entire journey, and we understand and appreciate how important mental health is. So absolutely, please come back and let's talk about that.
Well, maybe we could have Robin. You're an inspiration to so many people.
Thank you.
You're an inspiration. I mean, you inspired me today with your story.
Thanks.
Keep being you.
Yeah, man.
You're a light in this world. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. Yeah, I think happiness is so cool. You know, it just is.
Well, you made us happy today. And
you
heard it here. Jarrett Ray Reddick is committed to coming back to Hope
Anytime.
United again.
Anytime.
You always have a seat at this table. We love you so much. Thank you for your time.
Back at
you. And we look forward to seeing you guys on our next episode.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you.